Hey, this is Kaylee Moore.
And this is Paul Jarvis.
Welcome to the Creative Class Podcast.
A podcast for freelancers.
Woohoo!
Yay!
Check out Zoho Social, the all-in-one social media management platform for freelancers.
Save time scheduling your content and reach the right audience at the best time. Zoho Social is from Zoho.com. A suite of more than 45 products trusted by more than 35 million users.
There's an exclusive 60-day free trial offer for Creative Class listeners. Sign up today on GoSohoSocial.com.
So I think that there is kind of two stages of freelancing, or maybe two stages of business, but this is a freelancer show. We're going to talk about freelancing specifically. And I think the two stages are very different from each other, but a lot of times people don't, I guess, pay attention to or notice when they've reached the second stage that nothing changes. And I think that is a detriment to their business. What I'm talking about here, so first the idea of enough, but then the two stages of enough being pre-enough and then post-enough. Are you still with me on
yes,
this topic?
I am, at least. I hope everybody else is.
I feel like that's a little heady, but I do think that this is important. And I think for the main part, for the purpose of this conversation, we can kind of relate it to revenue. Mm-hmm. So if you don't make enough revenue, I think you have to work in a slightly different way to get to making enough revenue. And then if you do make enough revenue, then I think you can possibly change the way that you work, even if it's slightly or subtly, to work more to optimize the revenue that you're making instead of constantly going after more and 10xing and growth hacking and all of that. I think that that just leads to burnout and badness and fires and all that sort of thing. And this is something that I write about and talk about a whole lot. So I'm curious to get kind of your opinion on enough and then the two stages of enough.
Let's start at the beginning. Let's start with pre-enough. Let's just kind of work our way down the path of freelancing.
I just want to eat the whole pie right in the beginning. You just want to cut a slice and start with that.
I think it's
smart.
Okay, so the appetizer. So in the beginning, you're kind of in the pre-enough stage, and that's when you have to work really, really hard. You have to work hard because your rates are probably lower. You're probably learning a lot. You're probably building up your subject matter expertise so you can become a really valuable, sought-out specialist. And you're also figuring out what you like to do best. So you're figuring out that maybe you are really, really good at writing landing page copy, but you don't so much love writing emails or blog posts, in the case of the writer freelancer example that I'm familiar with. And so in the pre-enough stage, it doesn't mean that you have to hustle all the time and you don't have to work 20 hours a day. But what you do have to do during that period is you have to really lean into your efforts and do the work. And so I think that that's kind of the world of pre-enough, is just really leaning into learning a lot, being a sponge, working hard and making a lot of connections, working hard to refine your processes, and really just sticking with it. And I know that Seth Godin talks about the gap.
Yeah.
It's like the slow period, basically, after you burn out all the initial excitement from launching a business, you have to kind of slug through the slow period and make it through to the other side. And I feel like that's kind of the world of pre-enough, is getting through to the other side.
Yeah. And I think everybody starts in pre-enough.
Yeah.
Unless we're somehow start a business that's instantly more profitable than our wildest dreams. And if that's the case, let us know. I'd love to know what you do for that, because that sounds remarkable.
It does.
But I think in the beginning, reaching enough is the goal. Getting to where you have enough clients, enough revenue, enough everything, that's what you're working towards. And we do whatever it takes to get there, because it's out of necessity, because our goal is to have enough to be like a full-time freelancer. And we don't need to optimize for enough because we haven't reached it yet.
Right.
But if we aren't aware of what enough is, then we get into, we talked about this in the stress episode, you can technically work 16 plus hours a day. It doesn't really make sense to do that, at least not forever, because you're going to burn out. You're going to get stressed. Like, it's not healthy. So I think that if we start to be cognizant of what our enough is, maybe we need to just make a certain amount every year and that's enough. Like, that covers all of our bases, that covers savings, that covers everything. then if we worked an extra like 5 or 6 hours a day past that, it wouldn't make a lot of sense because we don't need that. Like just before a launch, like it's going to change day to day. But if the norm is always working more than you need to, I don't think that that makes sense. But I think for post enough, so the second stage, I think what we need to do is optimize. I don't think we need to keep growing exponentially and indefinitely forever. That doesn't make sense. That's kind of how capitalism supposedly works best. I disagree with that. But I think for post enough, we start to think about, okay, well, I'm making enough revenue. Maybe anything more than that goes into savings. Mm-hmm. Maybe I don't work like Sean D'Souza, who runs Psychotactics, doesn't want to make more than, I think it's $500,000 a year. And once he hits that, he stops. Same with my buddy Klee, who's a South African guy that I used to surf with all the time, who kind of came up with this idea, in my brain at least, for enough, where he would work until he had made enough money, and then we'd just go surfing and climbing for the rest of the year. Because he's like, what am I going to do if I make more money? I don't have a need for it, so maybe I can take time off and recharge. And then when I come back to work, I'm super stoked to get back to work again because I've taken some time off and I've gone surfing and climbing or whatever the heck he does. So I think that starting to think about what really is enough is really, really important because I think that that's kind of how we combat this hustle mentality or this gross hacking mentality. I said gross hacking.
that was more accurate.
Yes, I agree. I think that that's the antithesis of those things is thinking about being aware of and optimizing once we hit what enough is.
I love that. I think that's essentially the essence of all of this. And I think that one of the things that I personally had to talk through with the therapist, with a professional, was getting out of the workaholic tendency because there's so much opportunity, there's so much potential to earn and to really kind of compete with yourself as a freelancer that if you have a set salary, you make what you're going to make. And you're not, I mean, you might be working to get a raise, but with freelancing, you might earn $6,000 one month. And then the next month you work really hard and you earn $18,000. And so the volatility of it all, I think it goes both ways. You can also be on the flip side of that and earn maybe $1,000 the next month. But the fact that that potential is there, and if you are somebody who's really motivated and competitive and likes a challenge, there is a very easy hole to slip into of never being able to reach enough because you're just competing with yourself all the time. And it's something really dangerous. And it's something that if you keep doing it, eventually lead to burnout and to resentment of the work that you're doing. And so having enough, even if it's not a number, even if it's not a revenue number, even if it's like, I wrote 4 blog posts on my own site this month, and I worked with 1 new client, even if there are different types of goals like that, I think it's important to have things that help you gauge success and how you define it for yourself.
How do you manage social media without it taking up all your time? You're creating, you're curating, you're sharing great content on social media.
But how do you get the attention and reach your content deserves and engage your audience across multiple channels?
Try Zoho Social, the all-in-one social media management platform for freelancers.
Save time scheduling your content and reach the right audience at the best time. Zoho Social is from Zoho.com, a suite of more than 45 products trusted by more than 35 million users.
There's an exclusive 60-day free trial for Creative Class listeners, so sign up today at GoZohoSocial.com. That brings up a good point. I think that figuring out what enough is so different for every single person. We can't tell you, like, you need to make this much money and that's your enough. Because, like, the cost of living is so vastly different from place to place. Mm-hmm. Even groceries. The amount of difference in terms of groceries from most major cities in the States to, like, where I live on an island in Canada. Same thing. Like, I don't know how cauliflower costs so little in your country, Kaylee.
It's like a dollar.
It boggles my mind.
Cauliflower is so
cheap. Boggles my mind. I have seen $12 and $14 cauliflowers here. One of the things that bothers me a lot is the price of produce. But I think that knowing what enough is so intensely personal because it's also a good way to combat ego too, I think. At least for myself, when I started freelancing, every single year when I got like the notes from my accountant, like, this is how much you gross, this is how much you netted. If I didn't make more every single year, I felt bad. I felt like I wasn't doing something right. I wasn't growing or being a better freelancer every single year. And then I was like, wait a minute, what does that matter? If I'm making enough to cover my living expenses and put some money away for emergencies and investments, does it matter that I made $5,000 less this year versus last year? Like, it doesn't. But in our heads, we get this, like you were saying, like this competition with ourselves. And if we're competing with ourselves, there's always going to be a loser. Mm-hmm. And it's always going to be us. Even if we win, we've still kind of lost. It's like when you play chess with yourself, it's really, really, or at least for me, it's really, really difficult.
That would be really hard. That would be super hard. But no, in a way, it's mental chess with yourself, is the self-competition idea. And so even if you're doing all the things that you should be, you're increasing your rates every 3 to 6 months, you're being more selective with your projects, you eventually have to get to a point where you reach this idea of enough, and then you give yourself permission to take time off or to say no to projects or to hire help if you need help at that point. To essentially give yourself a break, though, because you can't keep pushing forward. You're just one person. And if you are fine with staying a one-person freelance business, you have to have a point where you say, okay, this is good. I feel good about what I've accomplished this year. And now I have permission to do something else.
Yeah, I agree. I think that for anybody, I think that we compartmentalize our goals, and I don't know how smart that is or how wise, I guess, that is, because we're a whole person. If you have a goal in business that's going to hurt or that's going to be a detriment to you mentally or socially or something, like, how good is that? So I think when we're thinking about what we want out of our business, we need to take into account things like, what do we actually want to do? How happy is it going to make us if we're working 16-hour days, 7 days a week? Because I think that, and one of the reasons I don't like goals, and just one of them, is the compartmentalization. It's like, well, I want to make like six figures this year as a freelancer, which is a pretty standard goal. But it's like, what are you willing to give up to get there if it does require sacrifice? And is that sacrifice worth it, both in the short term and in the long term? So do you have big picture goals for your freelancing business or for your business in general?
I do. So for me, I have a monthly income goal, which is basically just so, this is purely just so I don't have to call my accountant and be like, hey, I need to raise or lower my annual salary. Mm-hmm. Or I can just keep it at this amount. If I make X amount of dollars every month, I'm good. I've been able to keep that pretty sustainable. We talked about this in a past episode too. That's helpful too for tax reasons and for all kinds of different things. But that income goal is just kind of a guiding light for, okay, I hit this, now I can be done and I can take a day off and go hiking, or I can take the dog for a really long walk this morning or something like that. And then the other thing is, do I have projects that I'm excited about in the future? Because I'm somebody who always needs things to look forward to. So if I have projects that either I know I'm pushing myself to stay like consistent with my newsletter, for example, or if I have a personal blog post that I'm going to write that I'm excited about, or if I'm going to partner with another freelancer to do a series of videos or something like that, I like to have those types of little goals too, and almost mini projects to keep me on track. What about you?
Yeah, I suck at big pit. I suck at forward planning and forward thinking. So I kind of don't. It sounds silly, but I always find that if I'm working in the present and being mindful of long-term consequences, as opposed to planning long-term and taking iterative steps to get there, it's harder for me. But I think that that's kind of like a personal thing where if somebody was like, where do you want your business to be in 5 years? I'd be like, shrug emoji.
Yeah.
I don't know. That to me isn't important, but it is for some people, right? And I think the other thing is, like, we talked about competing with ourselves, and there's always a loser in that game. But I think that, especially nowadays, like, we live in a world where people are open about how much they made this month, or like income reports and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And I don't actually think those things are bad. I think that there's a lot of benefit there. And I think that transparency is typically a really good thing. But what can happen is we get not really jealous, but we want those same things. And again, we're compartmentalizing. We're compartmentalizing one thing about another person and trying to apply it to the whole of us. And I don't think that it always makes sense. Like if I look at Pat Flynn's income reports, I don't even know if he still does them. This is last time I probably looked was years ago. But if I look and he's got like $364,000 of income this month, and I'd be like, oh, the money that I made this month is kind of crap compared to
that. I know, it makes you feel bad.
Why do people only make income reports when they make more than I do?
Not a good comparison for the rest of us.
No, so I think that we have to kind of get off this hamster wheel of comparing ourselves to others in a way that makes us feel bad. I won't look at income reports anymore because I know if somebody has an income report, I know they're going to be making more than I do.
Sure.
I'm just going to try to not look at those income reports ever again.
I think that that's just generally a good rule of thumb. It's so easy to do the comparative living thing right now, especially with social media and income reports and like hashtag.
Everybody's living their best life on Instagram.
I know. It's the highlight reel. Everybody's sharing the highlight reel. So I think, yeah, you have to define what success looks like for you individually. If you need help from somebody, a coach or another freelancer who can kind of like keep you in check and add some balance to what can sometimes be destructive lines of thinking. I know that I'm subject to that sometimes. That's okay. It's good to have somebody who can balance things out for you. So yes, it's good to share and to be open about what you're making and what you're doing in your business, but that doesn't mean you have to compare.
Exactly. And I think it's like it's good to have somebody to basically just call bullshit on you.
Yeah.
At least for me, like as often as possible, I need another person to just call out my bullshit about that kind of comparison. And I think that that is immensely helpful for myself.
For sure. Me too.
Cool. I think we've covered this topic of enough.
I think so too.
Awesome.
That's enough on enough.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the podcast.
If you enjoyed it, please take a second to leave a review over on iTunes.
And be sure to check out our course, The Creative Class.
You can find it at creativeclass.co, which is creativeclass.co.
Ooh.